how are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you came, they found your case. And we survived to live.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages. And we are here tonight on this Tuesday night on RBNLive.com. A Radio Avenger is here, Uncensored Radio Free America. Now, last night we had told you that tonight our guest would be none other than Nita Renfrew. And Nita would be our guest tonight, except that she's come down with a little something. She's under the weather. So we've rescheduled her for next Tuesday night. And Nita, of course, authored the book in 1985, Saddam Hussein. She will have a lot to say next Tuesday, I'm sure, when she's feeling really strong. Meanwhile, we do have another guest who I'm pleased to welcome back to these microphones. And, of course, that is Dr. Matt Johnson. And hello, Dr. Johnson. How are you?
Good to be back, Rick.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine. And your specialty is Russia and the history of Russia, right, among other things.
Yeah, that's what I've been focusing on the last decade or so.
Yeah, just so people will know, you have a doctorate, I believe, in that field, don't you?
Well, in comparative politics and political theory, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I dealt with the developing world and issues like that, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, PhD. We'll call you Matt, if you don't mind.
That's fine by me, Rick.
Yeah, because you're an old friend, and I know your friends called you by your first name. So, it's good to have you back, and I know formerly you had a publication you were involved with, and you've moved now onto a new website, and I get, what is it called, RussJournal.com?
Well, it's the American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies. It's just RussJournal.com. I'm working freelance now, having been the editor of the Barnes Review for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have resigned on very good terms, no acrimony, no problem,
mm-hmm.
but I'm now working freelance, and I have my own web journal.
Yeah.
Dedicated to, for the most part, Russian politics, yeah.
Very good. Well, that's a subject in itself that you could spend a lifetime on. And, of course, the Internet, I suppose, is the place to do it because that's where people are turning these days. It's kind of tough, you know, to start up a new hard copy paper in these days with the costs and the expense involved. So your website has debuted, huh? Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't see any purpose in starting a hard copy publication. I would have preferred that, but the expenses and the headaches, hard copy publications, even the Elite,
mm-hmm.
even the Post and the Times and Reader's Digest, they're all starting to suffer.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And that's, by the way, that's not necessarily a bad thing in my view.
I agree.
It's a pleasure to see their readership go down and to see people turning from them, at least for the right reasons, I hope.
Yeah.
And that's true. Now, after the break, I want to get into a lot about Russian history in particular. And I want to go back, if we can, with your knowledge, we can go back to a time when the turn of the previous century, things were beginning to take hold in Russia, things that were basically financed by the Rothschilds and the powerful banking families in Europe to try to foment revolution and lay the groundwork for a communist dictatorship, you know, the Mensheviks and then the Bolsheviks later. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. My guest is M. Johnson, Matt Johnson. Stay where you are. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our product or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
All righty, we're back now on Uncensored Radio Free America. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of talk radio with you, sounding the alarm on issues and concerns of our nation and our peoples today. And with me, Matt Johnson, who has his new website, the American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies. By the way, it's an online journal of both scholarly and popular articles dealing with Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and Serbia, from a nationalist, anti-Western, and largely royalist and orthodox point of view. And that's quite a mouthful, Matt.
Yeah, I was in a good mood that day.
That day? Well, that's interesting. I like to go back in history first, and then we'll come to the present. And, I remember those documentaries, Alexander Skirby, you know, would narrate them, and there'd be one on Hitler, and then there'd be one on Russia and the Bolshevik Revolution. And it was pretty good, actually, the one on the Bolsheviks, and showing live footage at the time, actually film footage of some of the characters that were involved with Lenin and others in fomenting revolution in Russia. But prior to Lenin coming into the fray, you really had some other people that were working behind the scenes to foment a revolution called the Menshevik Revolution. And I believe you, if you look back in history, you find the names of people like Rasputin who helped to bring down the monarchy. Is that right?
Well, he's a very complex figure, and I'm not going to give a straight yes or no on that.
Mm-hmm. Have you studied him quite a bit?
There's a lot of great stuff out there on him. Russian nationalists have a tendency to like him. And, mm-hmm. and one of the reasons they like him is because he was one of the few voices counseling the Tsar to stay out of World War One.
Uh-huh.
Is only he and the Prime Minister were the only mm-hmm. two significant people who wanted Russia to stay out.
That's interesting.
I understand something. The big reason that Russia was the enemy at the beginning of the 20th century, mm-hmm. the main concern mm-hmm. was that Russia, because she was a royal government and a royal society, coined their own currency. They did not give their currency over to the major banking families.
That's
they were the
sure.
last country mm-hmm. in Europe of any significance
That's right.
that refused to do that. That's why St. Petersburg became a huge problem. That's why the Tsars suddenly had become tyrants and evildoers and all this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
is because they knew that there was a deep connection, a close connection, between coining your own currency on the one hand and real, actual sovereignty on the other.
Yeah, they understood that, huh? What made them so zealous in that regard? What was the history behind that?
To a great extent, it was from their Byzantine heritage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The Eastern Roman Empire, members of the royal family married into the early czars, Ivan III specifically, and you had a strong sense of central authority. You had a strong sense of the sort of the theopolitical aspects of life. Mm-hmm. And they understood that part of the material conditions of that are in maintaining control of the most powerful aspect of the economy, and that is currency.
Mm-hmm.
And the control of currency.
Mm-hmm.
The strongest monarchs, both in Byzantium, Russia, Serbia, anywhere else in Eastern Europe, the strongest monarchs were almost to a man completely populist.
Mm-hmm.
There was a law in Byzantium under Basil II that if a poor man, if a poor family could not pay his taxes, then the nearest rich person was responsible for them.
Hmm.
Populist the oligarchy hated him. The minute Basil II died, they scrambled to put one of their own on the throne, and the first thing they did is rescind all of that. You had widespread land holding. You know, royal Serbia never knew slavery. They never knew serfdom. They were free homesteaders. There's so much from the Middle Ages, so much from that idea of sovereignty under God that monarchs, at least in the East, manifested that we've lost and we have no concept of anymore. And it's sort of on this basis, sort of this concern is what brought me interested in Russia studies to begin with.
Yeah.
And now this website is starting pretty much from that basis.
That is fascinating. In your view, then, did the czars and the royal family get a bad rap in the so-called history books today?
I would say that outside of Hitler himself, there is no one who is more lied about and more slandered than the Tsars of Russia.
Uh-huh.
Part of it was that the Tsars were almost, particularly in the 19th century, particularly in Nicholas I, Alexander III, and his son Nicholas II,
mm-hmm.
were extremely anti-Masonic.
Mm-hmm.
Even in mainstream publications on Russian history,
mm-hmm.
It's a perfectly legitimate area of study to discuss the Masons. They were huge in Russia. They were almost entirely revolutionary in the Menshevik camp. And, you know, Nicholas II in particular fought them tooth and nail as much as possible. And even then, they were able to infiltrate his circle.
All right. Now, I can believe that. But how did they get to be so strong in Russia, of all places? And how did they get a foothold there?
After the defeat of Napoleon, the Russian army drove him all the way back to France.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the upper classes became very enamored of French culture
mm-hmm.
and began to speak a very broken French, which they all throughout the 19th century they were speaking in St. Petersburg. They became quite alienated from their Russian roots, and by the middle of the 19th century, the Russian intelligentsia were speaking French.
Mm.
And these people were ripe for the kind of cosmopolitan liberalism that Masonry offered. And because the Tsar was so close both to the church and to the maintaining of a strong currency and a strong agrarian-based economy, the Masons saw Russia as the target. They were so big and powerful that if we were able to take Russia, so much else would then follow. Russia came into contact in conflict with the big British bankers because they were threatening Britain in the Balkans. They were threatening Britain in the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
and they were threatening Britain in Central Asia.
Mm-hmm.
and they came to clash in all of these areas. And so the Rothschilds and the Schiffs began to fund the Japanese, and they built the Japanese Navy, which won in the 1905 war. And they began
right.
to they armed the Chechens at the beginning of the 20th century and financed their organizations. So, you know, the English-speaking world very quickly became very anti-Russian.
That's fascinating, yeah. It's true. It's a part of history that I dare say most people have no clue about today. It's just so far removed, and yet it is so important because, as we know, history has a way of repeating itself. And I see happening here in America many of the same cycles and many of the same things that happened in Russian history and indeed in German history for that matter.
Well, our people, you know, our sort of nationalist and populist type, have always been fascinated with the Russian Revolution. And, and I think one of the reasons is that the patterns, the big groups and the big organizations who were a part of it, have always been around. And they've always been fomenting these kind of things. And I think our people have always seen parallels in, let's beginning, you know, early 20th century Russia, as they do in 20th century America. And our people have been fascinated with that revolution for a long time, and with good reason.
You know, it's a tragedy that because of, well, because of these international bankers and their financing of the Bolshevik Revolution to overthrow the Tsars, as they had done in France with the French Revolution, it's a shame that all Americans know, all we know about Russia is unfortunately from that communist period on, 90 years under communism, you know, and we think of communists as Russians and Russians as communists. Actually, Russians were fiercely anti-communist, most of them, until the group of, well, the Marxists and communists took over and came to power through the barrel of a gun.
That's exactly right. You know, the Marxists would go out into the villages. They knew that the peasantry was generally very orthodox and for the most part royalist.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go out and they would have phony decrees from the emperor. And they would go to the head of the village and they would say, our most holy czar, Nicholas II, has decreed that you are to go shoot the landlord and take all this land for yourself. In other words, they knew that they couldn't get anything done if they appealed to their own ideology. They had to say that the emperor made them do it, or that we are bringing about a new godly order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would simply lie about their intentions to gain support.
Yeah, like godly order. Sounds like the New World Order again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they would use imagery that they thought the peasantry could listen to and understand.
Right.
In other words, they simply lied. And
well, that's something that we're accustomed to hearing these days from government, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the revolutionary groups would manipulate the loyalties of the peasantry for their own ends.
Sure.
And we do have a peasantry in America as well.
And I dare
say that they're probably the single most oppressed group in American life, particularly the small farmer.
Absolutely. Boy, we got a lot to talk about. Stay where you are, Matt Johnson. It's time for a break. I'm Rick Adams, and, of course, there are listeners who are listening intently. Feel free to jump on board in a little bit. We'll invite your phone calls at 800-313-9443. It's very simple to remember, 800-313-9443, because when we come back, I'd like to get into this history a bit more and the parallels between what was going on in Russia and more modern history in the West and in America today. There are some interesting parallels and contradictions as well that we need to point out. And our guest, Matt Johnson, is an authority on Russia and Russian history. So if you have a question, certainly by all means, come forth tonight. This is a great opportunity for you to do so. I welcome you aboard, and this is Uncensored Radio, Free America on Republic Broadcasting System, or network, I should say, RBNLive.com. Radio Avenger and his guest will return in just about 3 minutes from now. Stay where you are.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Hello, this is Christine with BringHemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring Them Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring Them Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringhemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
Rick Adams here reminding you, you can live pain-free now and without inflammation thanks to Dr. Cass Ingram's incredible new discovery, InflaEase. It actually eliminates the inflammation that causes arthritis, agonizing pain, and more. To order this amazing new product, call 800-243-5242. That's 800-243-5242. Order InflaEase today. And be sure to mention Rick Adams.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams, hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on.
Ouch. Yeah, we're back now, and our guest is Matt Johnson, Ph.D. Got a new website, the American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies. It's Russ Journal, RUSJournal.com, and, well, he says the premise of this project is that God has specifically chosen Russia to be the chief opponent of the servants of Antichrist, the global capitalists and warmongers who seek nothing else than a cultureless, demonic, totalitarian world empire. The global oligarchy currently in charge of the world's economy has not been seen at this scale since the days of Nimrod. The globalization of the economy and its control by a secretive group of bankers and intelligence services is a harbinger of the explicit and naked rule of the Antichrist, and so on and so forth. All right, now, Matt, would you like to take some calls?
Sure.
All right, Matt, and we welcome your calls, 800-313-9443, and we have Alex Jones on the line. Hello, Alex.
Rick, I just finished my TV show, and I tuned in dutifully to listen.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say I certainly don't have a Ph.D. in history, but I have studied quite a bit of European and Russian history.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they weren't just influenced by the French, but, of course, they were also cousins, almost indistinguishable, the last czar to the king of England. I mean, the two look like identical twins, even posed for photographs together, you know, in the same little outfits. They were really Saxe-Coburg Gothas. Were they not Germanic, sir?
Nicholas's wife was Prussian.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were directly hooked in with the British royal family and the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas.
Well, by the time, listen, by that time, by the end of the 19th century, all of the European royal families were related to pretty much every other one.
Exactly.
Mr. Jones, keep in mind that just before the Tsar was executed, actually, Kerensky made one last attempt to have the British rescue and take the family back to England. The British royal family said no, and within a couple of hours, they were all dead.
Yeah, I knew that. In fact, I knew that the Bolsheviks really were funded. You were talking about France, that influence, or I guess why they were worried about the Masonic orders was because of their experiences with the lodges emanating out of Paris. But, I mean, I had always read from the documents that I'd seen that the British, before the Bank of England, had their cousins whacked. But the main reason I called in, my only bone of contention is this. You know, I know Hitler was lied about. I know Hitler was used. I know a lot of stuff we hear about Hitler isn't true. But also, just reading Nazi documents and watching old films of Hitler, mm-hmm. they were into the occult. Mm-hmm. They were into druidic magic. I mean, the Nazis did have so many of their enemies killed. And really, from your research on this, Hitler was really just a wind-up toy or somebody the globalist funded to set up and then turned him loose and then pull the rug out from under him as a pretext. But I think to sit there and, you know, say Hitler, one of the most slandered people ever, I mean, Hitler really was in the Thule Society. He really was into the occult. He really, I mean, the globalists are, I mean, the Zionists said, we like Hitler, you know, we want him to run the Jews out of Germany for us.
Well, is that true, Matt?
Well, it's very, very complicated. It's really not capable of being very neatly packaged in a group of slogans.
Uh-huh.
The fact of the matter is that I'm not, as a Slavist, I'm really not interested in defending Hitler. Himmler was the only one who really had a vicious, vicious anti-Slav streak. You got to keep in mind also, during the Weimar period, a lot of political activity needed to be done underground. And unfortunately, secret societies were the only place where that can take place.
Well, yeah, I mean, I read Order of the Death Set by Heinz Hobel, and it's all about the secret societies. My point is, Hitler was bad. The Zionists are bad. The globalists are bad. I mean, you know, it's kind of like Republican versus Democrat. You know, Stalin and Hitler are bad, and so was Churchill, and so was Roosevelt. I mean, we have evil leaders. And then I get criticized for saying Hitler was bad. I may have misunderstood you, but I thought I heard you earlier say Hitler had been slandered.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think there's much about the Third Reich that is, you know, in American history textbooks is pure mythology.
Sure. A lot of it is fairy tales.
Yeah, but my main point was that that constant drumbeat of just absolute hatred aimed at Hitler. There's only one other person or one other institution that I know to be the recipient of that, and that is the Tsardom, either in Moscow or in St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly. I mean, look at the attack on the Serbs. For doing nothing but defending themselves from Al-Qaeda being hired by our government as usual to carry out the attacks. Well, look, I'm out of here, and you're right about the Russians, though. They really did. But look, I mean, I'm what you'd call a Southerner. But all these people want to say that Southerners were battling the New World Order against Lincoln. Well, I don't support the North either. But it's known that the British were funding the South, and it was known that the Czars were trying to prop up the North because they knew the bigger design of the British. Would you agree with that?
Oh, there's no question. All throughout the 19th century, the biggest rivalry globally was between Russia and Britain. And that's where the fight against the British banks took place.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And that's where the fight against the Masons took place.
Okay, Alex, thank you very much for calling again. Matt, we'll be right back. Fascinating door we're opening here. We'll be back with Matt Johnson and your calls. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at CalbendPureSoap.com.
Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Hello, this is Christine with BringemHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Brigham Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Brigham Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at brighamhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
The Nighttime Ride of the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Uncensored. Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is back.
Yes, we are, and we thank you for joining us tonight on the program. And, Matt, just before we go back to the phones, you're quite a scholar, and you obviously know what you're speaking of. And one of your good pals, I believe, was the guy that wrote the book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and that was Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton, right?
Yeah, I think I've read all of his stuff by now, yeah.
Yeah, he's passed on now a few years ago, but he was a scholar at the Hoover Institution, and he documents all of this quite well. And I think the important thing to say, since Alex called in, is basically that it isn't even just Hitler. You see, what people do is when people control the media, they will take a term and stigmatize a term or a country or a leader or an issue. And as you said, you're not going to sit here and defend Hitler, and neither am I going to defend him. But the point is that whoever the media want us to hate, they will make us hate. And they've made a tar baby out of Hitler, but they've also gone beyond that. See, with the first Hitler, then they could come up with more Hitlers to tar brush. And one of them, of course, was Saddam Hussein. You hear the phrase over and over, he's another Hitler. And then, of course, the Zionists would get angry with that term, even though they used it, because no one can do as much evil as Hitler in their view. And, of course, we know that they backed Stalin.
And Stalin did 10 times the number of killings as Hitler ever imagined as doing, and so did Lenin as well. So my point is basically to show how psychological warfare and propaganda are basically very difficult to argue against, because it's like arguing against a cliche. You know, when, for instance, you say, people before profits. Well, I mean, it sounds nice, doesn't it? I mean, who can argue against people before profits? But then when you start to analyze and look into the subject and realize that without profits and private property and the institutions there, you don't have people. People can't live freely and independently without that system. So, I mean, you know, you get my drift, right?
Well, I think Alex just misinterpreted what I was saying. I was simply making a,
I know, yeah,
a parallel.
Sure.
He said far more correct than he said incorrect. Specifically on the Serbia question, as you know, that tape has just come out last week, and it's probably why Alex brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, here's another place where lies and mythology repeated over and over again have brainwashed a lot of people.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah,
The words Serbia and Srebrenica mean the same thing. They mean the country of silver. It was the central economic area of medieval Serbia, where they mined half of Europe's silver there, and the Tsar of Serbia controlled his own currency because of that mining wealth. The Serbs, keep in mind, have had five attempts in the 20th century to wipe them out. Five attempts. They're a little touchy. Srebrenica was the headquarters of the 24th Bosnian Muslim Division. It was not a UN safe haven. The 24th attempted to break out of a Serbian enclave and join the remainder of the Bosnian Islamic army. A major battle took place. The Dutch peacekeepers were totally outgunned and ended up retreating. That's all that happened in Srebrenica. That tape proves absolutely nothing. You had six people or five people who were allegedly Muslims being shot. There is no context. There is no notion of who these people are or what they did. And the Serbs in their little enclave in Bosnia were fighting for their lives. The Muslims had already stated that they were going to wipe out the Serbs. They had already stated they were going to forcibly convert the Serbs and drive them back into Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
They were fighting for their lives, and that's the reality of the situation. So I'm very, very happy that Alex brought that up, because it's a significant issue. And when the tape came out last week, it was all over the propaganda press, from the BBC to the New York Times.
Okay, then let's take some more phone calls. Our guest, again, Matt Johnson with us, and you can call in at 800-313-9443. Toll free, 800. Okay, 800-313-9443. Before we go to Jane, Ted, and Doug, let's Alex wants to get back on and just correct what he thinks is a misinterpretation of what he said. Okay, Alex, back again.
No, I just want to make it clear, as I read on the road, that I agree with you guys, and I think you're doing a great job, and I think the scholar you have on, because, I mean, I've probably read 20 books on Russia and looked at it from their angle, other angles, what he's saying is the true history. And I hope I wasn't clear. I'm saying Serbia was attacked. Serbia was good. Serbia was set up. Serbia was brought down. They had a third of their land stolen. You know, I mean, they staged video where they'd have food, you know, inside an area, and people were trying to get in to get it, and they'd say, look, they're in camps, or they'd have Serbs and Albanians trying to get out of Kosovo, and they go look at them in camps as they're at the barbed wire fence to Albania, or the barbed wire fence to Macedonia, trying to go, oh, look, they're in a camp. I mean, this is incredible propaganda, and it's all been admitted. So I mean, I was getting it. The people were saying, I was saying the Serbs were bad. I mean, on my talk show, on the record, I'm saying that was a total setup. I mean, look at the excuse to go after Saddam. Well, look at Clinton going after Serbia when they saved Marilyn Albright's hind end from the Nazis. I was just making it clear that Hitler was really bad, but not for a lot of the reasons that the mainstream media attacks him for. Uh-huh. And you're absolutely right, Rick, about how he's this, you know, this black brush that they use to paint all these people, but they tell us how, you know, how sweet Stalin was. But listen, I'm out of here. Take care.
Hey, thank you, Alex. Okay, good enough. Let's take some more calls, because we've got a lot of them. Ralph, I'm calling you Ralph because his name is M. Raphael Johnson. Matt, you have to forgive me. Tonight's Tuesday night. And although I haven't been drinking because I don't drink, I just did a few episodes of our local TV program, and it certainly takes a lot of energy to do that. All right, Matt, let's go to the phones. Jane in Baltimore, hi, you're on the program.
Well, as a scholar of history, Alex Jones is kind of a hard act to follow, but I'll do my best.
All right, go right ahead. Right ahead. Ask a question. Matt's ready for you.
Well, the joke going around at the time that the New World Order was under Clinton was using this Balkan War as kind of a prototype for Iraq. That's my feeling, that it was the testing of the waters, the manipulation of the international media, the phony reports from ITN, the smearing and the slandering of the Serbs. And bear in mind, I'm not in any way defending the regime of Slobodan Milosevic. I don't have a very high opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
But one doesn't have to indulge, the petty tyrannies of a local socialist operation with the larger machinations of the New World Order. And clearly they wanted the resources in Kosovo. And it's also strategically located. There are a lot of reasons why they needed to be in the Balkans, why they needed to bust up Yugoslavia once and for all. The joke going around was that the Kosovo Liberation Army, the infamous KLA, which of course had been on the State Department's index of terrorist organizations forever, that they acquired an air force, and that air force was called NATO, with a commander, Wesley Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see these large swaths of land being turned over to these thugs and terrorists, and the blue helmets come in and they protect them. So I think we understand what's going on there in that context. I do want to say that Alex was dead on in what he said about the origins of World War One. And when I say dead, I don't mean that in any sense as a pun, because we are talking about millions. This was unprecedented in history as a catastrophe for civilization, this war. And the families that engineered it and brought it about were first cousins. The Tsar of Russia, Nicholas, Kaiser Willy, their cousin King George, were first cousin by virtue of Queen Victoria, who was their grandmother.
Mm.
And the scions of these royal bloodlines led, a whole generation of young men was destroyed in four countries. And this was a seminal event of the 20th century. Everything that transpired after that, from the disaster of the Versailles Treaty to the rise of fascism in Italy and Nazism in Germany, the Bolshevik Revolution and everything that happened after that, the whole subsequent history of the 20th century was defined by this horrible war to end all wars.
Yeah.
And that is a crime. That is a crime that bears on the shoulders of those families. And the other thing I want to remind you of is that the people who turned out to be the most effective at using populist rhetoric were, in fact, the Bolsheviks, whose program was peace, land, and bread. That is to say, they co-opted what was a populist program in order to seize leadership of that revolutionary movement.
Right,
and I want to remind you of the fact that virtually the only people who opposed sacrificing a generation of young men to that horrible war fought on behalf of the bankers were the extreme leftists, for the most part, in these European socialist parties, and that's a historical fact.
All right, well, let's let Matt respond now to what you said, Jane. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Jane, it's time to remind you of a few things now. Number one, Tsar Nicholas II was opposed to the war. He wrote his first cousin, Kaiser Wilhelm, in English, to stop the mobilization.
But they went to war anyway.
He put on
a uniform and they went to war anyway.
I am aware of the history, Jane. Thank you. The fact of the matter is that, number one, Russia had treaty obligations, both to Bulgaria and Serbia.
The treaty obligations to British bankers, to British and French bankers who had basically established whatever industry existed in Russia.
Jane,
and you can read about this.
Number one, the major investor in Russian industry was France, not England. Get a clue, Jane, number one. Number two, Russia and England came to blows over the fate of Turkey, as well as, I have said already, the Far East and Central Asia.
These were imperialist regimes.
They eventually needed to bribe Bulgaria, who wanted to remain neutral, in fact. The Germans needed to bribe them.
I smell an apologist for the Romanovs. That's what I hear.
I have a book out on the topic, Jane. That's what I do. I am an apologist for the Romanovs. That's what I do for a living.
Well, you know, I'll have to check out your book and read up on this. You're trying to personally absolve him of responsibility for the greatest atrocity. I guess Stalin might have exceeded the Romanovs in the number of lives he destroyed, but that doesn't absolve the Romanovs of guilt.
Tsar Nicholas II, didn't you hear what I just said, Jane? Why don't you settle down?
He wrote a letter
to Kaiser Wilhelm saying, stop this.
He could have ended that war.
Jane, shut up a second.
You could have ended that war anytime you wanted.
All right.
Shut up, Jane.
Okay, Jane. Just calm down, though.
Just settle. I know a hell of a lot more of this than you do.
Well, then you know that the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, which is where the Bolsheviks negotiated Russia's exit from the war. Why did the Tsar do that?
Would you have preferred it had the Austrians wiped out the Serbs? Would you have preferred that?
I couldn't hear you, Paul. Sorry.
Did you know that the Hungarians had set up concentration camps for Serbs? Would you have preferred that? Or did you even know about that, Jane?
Okay, Jane.
Read a book.
Jane?
Yeah.
Did you have a final comeback?
That Russia's not only her entry into the war, which was a stupid thing and a catastrophic thing and an immensely destructive thing, but the persistence in keeping Russia in the war. And in point of fact, initially the first revolutionary regime that overthrew the Tsar kept Russia into the war because they also were beholden to international bankers. And in point of fact, what the Bolsheviks were just another gang that was independent enough that they were able to negotiate their own deal with Henry Ford and Rockefeller and Morgan once they had demonstrated their ability to successfully lead troops in the field in a 3-year civil war. So I'm not excusing the atrocities of the Bolsheviks. I'm just saying they were effective for a reason. Their platform was populist. They got Russia out of the war, and they won a civil war. So, you know, it was no accident that they were in power. There are historical reasons
for it. Okay, thank you very much,
Bye-bye.
Jane, for your call. All right, now she's saying you're an apologist for the Romanov family. It sounds like she's trying to polish the edges of the extreme left wing and, indeed, the Bolsheviks and their role, because they didn't just settle a civil war. They exterminated tens of millions of people. Let's not forget that either.
Well, Jane is just a stupid American woman, period. The fact is, she knows nothing of the history. She doesn't understand that the Germans wanted large pieces of Russian territory in the northeast. In the northwest. She doesn't realize that the Austrians wanted all of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't realize that Russia had pledged herself the independence of both Bulgaria and Serbia against the Turks and against the Austrians. And eventually, of course, they came to face the Austrians and defeated them decisively, which is what caused the Germans to have to fight on two fronts at the same time.
Right.
And that's what caused them the war. They're very complicated, difficult.
No, it's true. Let me tell you, we're not even a classroom. I feel like we're in a college classroom here, Matt, and you're an excellent teacher. But it's so complicated sometimes to learn this for the first time for many people that it's heavy. I mean, we have to, and that's why I love doing these programs, because it really gives us a chance to get away from the fluff and the bubblegum mentality of the media. Get into some heavy, heavy issues, and we're going to continue this and into the next hour if you can, because you've generated so many good calls. Is that okay?
Hey, man, I'm a fighter. This is what I do.
Okay, brother, thank you. All right, let's take next call. Ted in Georgia, you've been waiting a long time. Hi, Ted.
Well, I've been waiting a little while. Let me, I am not in agreement with the last call, huh?
Mm-hmm.
There are three points that I want to make. I want to tell you about two books very briefly, and I want to seek your agreement on certain facts of history concerning the invasion of Russia by mm-hmm. Hitler, and the fact that the Serbs delayed his schedule. Had he gone in April, he might have succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
And but by delaying it to June the 22nd, which when the invasion started of Russia, then the weather closed in on him prematurely. Is this not correct? The Greeks also delayed Hitler.
Matt?
Ted, so far you're 100%.
Yeah.
Okay,
now the other two points that I'd like to make, one of them in relation to the Tsar, and the King of England, who I believe somebody said cousins, or maybe they were something. I think they were cousins. And at the beginning of the at the beginning of the threat to overpower the Tsar by the Bolsheviks. Sometime in there, the Tsar is reported to have sent his gold to England. And by the Bolsheviks exterminating the Tsar and his family, then the title to that gold could no longer be claimed. Now, where I'm getting this, I'm getting it from a book of fiction. And it might be fiction, but the book is entitled The King's Commissar. Have you read that book by chance?
No, I haven't, but I've heard of it. I've heard actually quite a bit of it.
It's a very, very interesting book. The fictional part of it's interesting, but that part that I just relayed.
Ted, I know you have another point you want to make. Can you hang on?
Sure.
We got a break. Stay where you are. Our guest, Matt Johnson, and we're talking about Russian history and Russia. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Today, we're all going to learn a new term. It's only 2 words. Now listen closely. Can all of you say constructive fraud?
Constructive fraud!
And we are back. I think we are. I can barely hear my headphones. Paul, will you adjust my volume, please? Thank you, sir. All right, we're back on the program, Uncensored Radio Free America. Ted, are you still there? Can't hear you. Okay, now I can hear you, Ted.
Right.
Ted, what was the other point you wanted to make with our guest, Matt Johnson?
Well, I would recommend that book, and I want to repeat the title, King's Commissar.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other book I'd like to mention is Out of the Night. This is a book published in 1941 by a man named Jan Valtin, V-A-L-T-I-N. Jan Valtin, published by Alliance Book Corporation. And this book relates the personal experience. It's not fiction. It relates the personal experience of a communist in Europe in the period 1921, so forth. From what he says in this book, it sounds as though the communist had a tremendous, more than a foothold. They were ready to close in on the entire continent of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that they were stopped. And this is a context in which the whole thing should be looked at. I'm not...
I understand.
Mm-hmm. I'm not emotional about this thing as some people, because I don't know that I have all the facts.
Well, the funny thing is, you don't trust politicians, good or bad, whoever they might be, because they're politicians. But the fact of the matter is that during World War II, the Germans maintained a position of power and influence and strength that countered the Soviet might. And remember, the Soviets were given huge amounts of military hardware, lend-lease and aid from the United States that pretty much, without Germany's opposition, could have resulted in the total enslavement of most of Europe. Isn't that true, Matt?
There's no question about it. The Western love affair with the Bolsheviks goes back to World War One,
mm-hmm.
The Schiff family did finance Lenin, as well as the German government, who wanted to knock the Russians out of the war. No
mm-hmm.
doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that Jane said that was very correct was that the Bolsheviks had a solid plan, an ideology, that they could package in various ways to different groups of people. The whites, on the other hand, had everything in them, from nationalists, the monarchists, the moderate socialists, Mensheviks, all sorts of different people in the white armies who didn't have a coherent agenda.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt that was one of the reasons that the Bolsheviks did so well, that they maintained that central discipline under the head of the Red Army, who was Trotsky.
Sure. Thank you, Ted, for your call. I appreciate it very much.
The other issue is World War II. There's two major books that detail Stalin's plans for an invasion of Western Europe, Central Europe specifically, mm-hmm. and that is Stalin's War of Extermination,
mm-hmm.
Joachim Hoffman, as well as Icebreaker by Viktor Suvorov.
Yeah, and you know what gets me? You'll see every now and then an attempt to poo-poo that idea that the Germans, or particularly the National Socialists, created these documents out of thin air and falsified them and blamed the Stalin, or attributed them to Stalin, saying that they were, in essence, falsified by the Nazis. And quite honestly, I think, that may not be the case at all. When we come back, we'll continue on this line. We've got a number of callers, Doug, Joe, Kevin, and more. We'll be back. Hour number two. I'm Rick Adams. Stay tuned.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to
Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.